The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
To Twig, the flagship of stupidity, otherwise known as This Week in Geek. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, but I'm not alone as I trek through the world of geekdom, weirdness, and other things. I'm joined with my co-host in Kitchener.
Alex.
That's right, guys. So we're here to talk to you about what happened in the world this week, but also we like to open the show with kind of what have we been doing, what's been going on. If you are a fan of the WWE, SummerSlam was just in Toronto this past weekend. Raw and SmackDown will be filming there this week as well. NXT TakeOver happened. A few of my friends ran in the Finn Balor. A guy I know, Toronto Batman, opened for Dolph Ziggler at a comedy club this past weekend.
Just listen to that conversation you just had here. Batman opened for Dolph Ziggler.
It's pretty weird. But yeah, it's amazing just seeing all my friends talking about SummerSlam this weekend and was happening in Toronto. Evidently, it was a really good show.
You haven't watched it yet?
Not yet. I'm probably going to watch it today or tomorrow.
5 hour show and the 3 minutes with Goldberg's the best part.
I'm curious to see Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt because he comes out as the Fiend.
Oh,
it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, like I don't want to spoil anything for you since you haven't seen it, but there's some pretty fantastic moments. It's the best pay-per-view they've had in a year and a half. It's still not great, but it's the best one they've had in a year and a half for sure. It's still too long with a 2 hour pre-show. Don't watch the pre-show. It's just three matches that really don't matter.
So it's just them talking in endless circles.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's I don't know if it's at the end of the pre-show or at the beginning of the main show, but somewhere in there, if you'd watch the main show and you don't see it, go back and watch the pre-show because it was like a blur to me. Elias does his whole thing where he makes fun of the town and plays music, and then surprise, surprise, Edge comes out. So
that's pretty cool.
And he was not advertised at all. So he comes out and does his whole spiel and kicks the crap out of him, which is surprising seeing as he doesn't wrestle anymore because of his neck injuries.
Oh, that reminds me. Weird connection to my sister-in-law, Kara. Kara, my sister, went to a baseball game for the Toronto Blue Jays this past week, and she sends me a picture. And she's like, Mike, who are these people? Are these wrestlers? She's sitting right on the third baseline. She sees Christian come out, Kofi Kingston with the WWE title, Braun Strowman, who's a giant of a man, and Becky Lynch. And she's like, who are these people?
Well, Christian comes out because he's like local Orangeville, Toronto area. Even though he lives in, I think it's North Carolina or Georgia now or something like that. But of course, they have to have at least one person come out that's local. But yeah, like that's this weekend. That's pretty much the whole thing. They had the takeover event the night before and everything too. As far as we did our Cambridge Chronicles.
Yes, which we're running on Twitch. So you can see that every 2 weeks on twitch.tv/terriblewarriors at 9 p.m. on Saturday nights, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's that. I've personally put together that new podcasting machine, that little mini computer. It's pretty good. It's not struggling, but I'm basically maxing it out when we do our streaming, because you got to have so many tabs open with, you know, video and audio going on. I'm like, oh, this is pretty much maxing out what I could do with this little guy. It is perfect for what we do for regular audio and most streaming and stuff. But what I didn't take into account when I built it, even though it's like a decent new CPU, is, oh yeah, the GPU drain of having to have 1080p camera working with like multiple other cameras being streamed to me at the same time. Other than that, we got a bunch of stuff that, you know, we've been reviewing, and we've got stuff coming up. Other than that, it's been a pretty uneventful week. Like, the weather's been a little better, right? I don't think we've...
Oh, it's been really nice.
Yeah, like, it's not been the crazy death of a summer. Like, it's weird. This summer has been so weird because, like, last 2 or 3 years, it was death hot from the middle of May all the way to the middle of September. And now we're having these spells where it's, like, it Celsius-wise, like, it drops to, like, 10 degrees at night. That's, like, October weather. And then at daytime, it's like 28. So that's like what, I guess 45 or 50 degrees out, 50, maybe 50 American Fahrenheit at nighttime. And it jumps up to like 80 or 90 during the day. It's like, what the hell?
Speaking of things that happened this past week, as you guys may have seen from my Facebook and Twitter, I had a little bit of a health problem this past week. So I did get that resolved. It's looking like it's a lot better. I have some kind of a diabetic full foot ulcer, otherwise known as a deep pressure wound on my good leg. Went to go see the foot doctor. She says it's not as bad as it could be. We caught it in time, but I still have to go see my vascular surgeon to get his opinion on it. I have some narrowing of the arteries. A lot of diabetics get it. Worst case scenario, I have some stents put in, which improves blood flow and circulation, but the doctor took out all of her tools and all her listening devices and says, I've got good circulation, I've got a good pulse, the color's good, and I'm not going to lose my foot, the long and short of it. I have to do all these.
To give you a background, like, that's the same thing that happened to my father in the spring, and there was sort of a health scare there. And yeah, that's what they did. They put a stent in his leg, and he went from having literally, like, I think it was 4% blood flow in the one leg up to 100%. And it's the problem with diabetics is that can happen. If the blood pools, that's what's bad.
Yeah, so I have to do some exercises. I have to wear orthotics. I never thought I'd be a diabetic, a guy in a wheelchair wearing orthotics, but it helps.
Yeah,
it offloads the pressure. I have to wear this foam booty when I sleep now, which is really annoying, but I'm getting used to it.
You know what? It's going to be just like how you didn't like the idea of a CPAP mask, like a breathing mask. And I had been using one, you know, before, because one of the requirements for my surgery was that I had to have one. And then I was like, I don't want it. Dude, after you used it for like, what was it, 3 or 4 days? Now you're like, give me my mask.
Like, yep, because you're asleep so quickly.
And I think there's a stigma. People are like, oh, it's an old people mask or it's something like that. But it's like, no. I remember when I got mine, they're like, oh yeah, in the States, there's 20 million people that use these. And I'm like, 20 million people? That is like 8% or 10% of the population have them now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you just kind of get used to. So they said, as long as I take care of it, offload the pressure, should clear up in like a month and a half. The blood pooling just has to reabsorb into my body, and the wound has to heal. So fingers crossed that we're okay, but the doctor says, and I quote, don't freak out, you're gonna be okay, do as I say. No problem there. So anyway, we got a show for you this week, as we often talk about the world that is and was this past week. We have controversy, because why wouldn't we when we talk about America? No offense, guys. But we also have some interesting reviews and stuff to talk about, too. We're going to be talking about Paramount Home Entertainment's Jack Ryan Season 1 on Blu-ray. We're also going to be talking about... I never thought they'd release this series on DVD. We're going to be talking about the Double Dragon animated series. And finally, we're going to have a review, which is just in time for back to school. If you don't happen to use your phone as a dedicated music player, we have another option for you with the Apple iPod Touch 7th generation. So we'll be taking a look at that and so much more here on This Week in Geek, otherwise known as Twig, the Flags of Stupidity. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Alex, the producer. We'll be back, guys, right after this. Today from Paramount Home Entertainment, we are looking at Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan Season 1 on Blu-ray. Another way to describe this series would be Tom Clancy's Homeland. And that's not a bad way to look at this series. It follows former Marine turned CIA analyst Jack Ryan as he follows a terrorist plot from a man known as Suleiman as he plans attacks across Europe and the United States. And it's pretty good, actually. I really, really, really like this series. I'm a huge fan of the Tom Clancy universe, especially anything Ryan-verse. And odds are, you've probably seen a Jack Ryan movie, be it Hunt for Red October, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Sum of All Fears, etc., etc. The character has been played by Ben Affleck, Harrison Ford, and the series itself is actually pretty good. Having John Krasinski, the last thing I saw him in was A Quiet Place, and I really liked him there. Here, he plays sort of an everyman hero. He's not a Superman. He's not Jason Bourne. He's not Jack Bauer. He's an ordinary guy who sits in a cubicle most days and pretty much deals with finance reports for terrorists and whatnot. The 8 episodes are really good, though it does take a little while to get the series going. I'd say things really kick in the high gear around episode 4. And whatnot, where they start to trace some of the terrorist interactions to Paris. And I do like how the series wraps up, all things considered. It does kind of tie things into a bow if things didn't continue on to a season 2, which was recently just got a trailer for, which comes out sometime in 2020. This would have been a nice cap to the series. However, though, getting 8 episodes of Tom Clancy-esque action is pretty cool. Are there some things I'm missing? Yes, because this does take place in the Tom Clancy universe, I want to see characters like John Clark. I want to see them even just mention Rainbow Six. Would make me so happy, because this does have a tie-in to the video games. You know, though it's a greater wish to hear Sam Fisher or Domingo Chavez get mentioned, but those are some deep cuts there, so I'll forgive that for now. So this season can be picked up for just a little over $30 on Amazon.ca right now. If you don't have Amazon Prime, I would recommend giving this a watch. I mean, I really did enjoy my time with it, and I can't wait for season 2. However, if you have Amazon Prime, congratulations! You can watch this right now, and it won't cost you any more than what you're already paying. So, if you're a fan of Tom Clancy, I do recommend checking this out. John Krasinski is wonderful in this role, and I do recommend Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan Season 1 on Blu-ray.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
And welcome back to This Week in Geek, the Twig Show, the flagship of stupidity. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Alex the producer. Well, let's talk about the news that is and was and forever shall be etched into the history books. And we're going to start things off on a serious note. As you guys know, we had a series of tragic shootings last week in America, in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Walmart, the huge big box superstore, which I'm sure you've heard of, was circulating a memo late last week where it was telling employees to remove, turn off, and cancel a range of promotions that were demoing violent video games and whatnot. They were also told, rather, to remove signage that was referencing combat, third-person shooter video games, any events promoting these type of games, violent movies that might be playing in the electronics section, hunting season videos in the sporting goods section. The memo specifically says to remove these items immediately. Yet, they still continue to sell the guns. This is where things get tricky.
Well, because the guns make more money than the video games do for them.
Which you'd think after... Because this is not the first time Walmart and guns have been involved. Like, I remember way back in the day when Bowling for Columbine came out, when Michael Moore took those kids from Columbine, they went to Walmart, bought out all the ammunition.
It was Kmart.
They also did Walmart, too.
But I know that that's the reason Kmart went out of Canada. Because they were one of the few places that actually sold hunting rifles here and stuff. And the bad publicity they got from that was enough to make Kmart exit the Canadian market.
Oh!
Yep. That was the reason. Like, people thought it was, competition from Walmart. Nope. And Zellers and all that. Nope. It was literally their PR was so damaged in the States that to recover money from lost revenue, they exited the Canadian market to save money.
Well, that is certainly new news to me. I had never heard that before. Obviously, Walmart wanting to maintain a good public image, and with all these prominent political figures blaming video games, though, now we literally have decades worth of studies saying there is no link between violent video games and violent behavior. It's a scapegoat at best. I mean, Jim Sterling has done videos on it. Inside Gaming has done videos on this. They're a lot more articulate than I am. And it's a conversation I'm getting tired of having, where we all get up in arms to defend video games from being a scapegoat in a certain process. But it happens every time. And now you've got the President of the United States blaming the glorification of violence and whatnot. And recently Universal just pulled a movie from its release schedule. It was supposed to come out in September, I think, called The Hunt.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it may be shelved indefinitely. It was basically like, we can allow movies like The Purge and The Hunger Games. So, I don't know. But, once again, I don't know what the answer is, because on one side of the issue, we have people talking about mental illnesses, and that's a very valid point. You have people talking about gun control, common sense gun control, which, once again, very valid point. And then you have the other side of the argument, which says my right to bear arms, et cetera, et cetera. Is it an open carry state sort of thing?
The problem with the right to bear arms thing is, what country, other than the States, refuses to evolve their laws?
Because it was written in 1776, was it not?
Well, it's the initial when the country was founded. There's lots of amendments that were done, but the issue is, if you look at every other modern G8 country, every other country on the economic level and societal level as the States, has newer laws that work better. America is so entrenched. And I'm not a crazy, one way or another, right wing, left wing person, or I'm not going to be somebody who's like going to go off on a rant on things. It's just simple facts. America is behind the rest of the world when it comes to social issues and changing a lot of their laws. You look at Australia, they had one mass shooting. Was it 20 years ago? 25 years ago, something like that. They banned all guns, period, all handguns, and they haven't had a single mass shooting since. And you have other countries, like in Canada, I think there was a chart that showed we had about 8 in a year. America had almost 300. And if you go by, it's a population thing, it's like, okay, well, they're 10 times our population, so I could see maybe 80 happening. That's still an extreme, but like, let's say they had 80 happen because there's 10 times population. Mm-hmm. Why are there nearly three times that?
Well, I remember somebody saying there's more guns in America than there is citizens. And I'm thinking, wow, that's insane. Well, that's
the
thing.
America, the problem is people say, big business, corporate. the problem is people look crazy when they say things like, oh, big business is out to get you. Know what? It's not that. It's about where the money is. And the money is and always has been in oil companies, gun and weapons manufacturers, and pharmaceuticals. And they basically run the country because they run the money.
And they run any kind of lobbying group, etc. Because yeah. a lot of people who are in governments take money from the NRA. And well, when you blame the video game industry, that doesn't cost you votes. When you blame the NRA, that will cost you votes.
Well, not just that. There are many other countries that like don't even allow lobbying groups. It's illegal to have them. Many other like European countries, you can have groups that are like unions or interest groups, but what they're not allowed to do is they are not allowed to donate to political campaigns. They are not allowed to have corporations or have corporate votes. They're not allowed to influence the people's votes. And in the States, that is not only legal, it's like the number one thing that wins elections is how do these lobbying groups influence things.
Yeah, and, like big and you, tobacco, etc.
People try to do that in Canada. The problem is big tobacco will try to do something in Canada, and then the people will go, fuck you. And then they get shut down real quick. The problem in the States is you got a culture where people have grown up for the last 75 years believing what they're told. You're told this in the media. You're told this. Like, you remember how cigarette companies used to lie and say doctors said that cigarettes were healthy for you?
Yep.
Yeah, they would outright lie, or they would pay a doctor to say things, and that was not considered an ethical issue. It was only considered an ethical issue when it was proved by the rest of the world that they were lying.
And one of the other things that's been contributing, or at least information about mass shootings, the CDC is not allowed to conduct research into it. It's not allowed to use federal money for it.
Yet which is our, so stupid. Yet our equivalent to it does up here, and they're like, oh yeah, it's horrible.
So,
you know what I mean? Like it's you. And if here's the thing, it's America, the big problem is Americans, not Americans as like individual people, but like as a culture, have a thing where if they're not the ones saying it, it doesn't exist, or other people, other countries' opinions are invalid or wrong because America is better. That they've been told America is better forever, so they believe it. And it's like, better how? Better why? And better one, at one time? Yes. But what makes America better? And they don't really have an answer to it other than America. And
I mean,
it's kind of almost like that movie Idiocracy, where it's like the people have been told, you believe exactly what the screen in front of you tells you.
It's, I mean, I'm for a lot of common sense stuff, a lot of stuff that makes sense. I mean, my stance has changed a little bit in the last couple of years. Like, I would like to see more gun laws, but you should have the right to have a gun if you want
absolutely.
It.
You should, but, you know what, you want a hunting rifle? Sure. You cool. want something. And here's the thing. You want to stop an intruder from coming to your house? I've heard many people say this before, but if you need more than 6 rounds to stop the intruder, you're going to die anyway. Like, yeah. do you need more than what comes in? Like, and here's the thing. In a handgun, if you have a handgun, you know, I understand like a 6 shooter or something like that. But even then, that if you have a handgun, you should go through some extra training or extra background checks. But if you just want like a hunting shotgun or a hunting rifle to protect you from an intruder, if you need more than 6 rounds of a hunting rifle that can take down a deer or a moose, then you're going to die. So why, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like who needs more than that to stop a single intruder? Oh, then they go, the government's coming to get me. So, what if they did? If the government came to get you, there's nothing you could do to stop them.
Yeah, there's no way your little weekend warrior arms are going to deal against a fully trained and ready to go army. But I think certain classifications of weapons.
If the SWAT team came to get you, you're not stopping them. And if you do, you're going to be viewed as the crazy person who tried to kill an entire SWAT team.
Yeah, like I believe classifications of weapons should definitely require more training and all that stuff. Like, there's no reason for a civilian to own a 50 caliber handgun, in my opinion.
No, and there's literally no reason. You cannot give me a reason that anybody in the rest of the world, or even most sane people in the States, would say that you need the same weapon to defend your individual home that you need when you're at war trying to kill as many people as possible.
Yeah, I find
so,
it.
So you need you don't need a bazooka. You don't need hand grenades. You do not need a weapon that fires 60 rounds per minute or you know, that can, oh, you need that gun that can armor pierce people's, you know, Kevlar armor. Why? Oh, are you afraid that somebody with Kevlar is going to come and like take your property? Or like, it doesn't make sense. Or you know what? If you need to use more than 6 rounds, maybe have a couple guns. You want to have 3 or 4 guns? Sure. But they better be ones that, you know, are just basically used for hunting or basic self-defense.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, I mean, to swing this back around, I can see Walmart's taking the easy way out because they don't want to stop this. In fact, there was even a guy, I think it was in Missouri, I want to say, it's an open carry state. He can legally do this. Walked into Walmart with body armor and 100 rounds and a rifle, and he was stopped by an off-duty firefighter, fearing that this was going to be another Walmart shooting. Evidently, he was doing his patriotic duty to protect the Walmart. And I'm more worried about the people that will take it the wrong way.
Well, I'm more like, here's the thing. He has an open carry. What's to stop people from reasonably thinking he's going to kill them, pulling out their security gun and killing him?
It's, I don't know. I mean, there is no simple answer.
Like, what if he walked into a school with that on?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Oh, it's an open carry in that state? Really? If I was driving my kid to school, and let's say I was an off-duty officer, and I was picking up my kid, and I saw a man with armor walk into a Walmart with lots of kids or a school, I wouldn't even hesitate. I would shoot him in the head. And I'm not somebody who even has a gun or would want a gun, but if I was a cop doing that, I would be like, oh my God, I just saved 100 children.
Because you don't know intent until it's too late.
Especially when it's happening at such a high frequency in the States that, you know, well, here, if
even see, right now,
if you see somebody with body armor and all that stuff on here, you just assume that they're up to no good because it's just not something you see here regularly. But like in the States, if you're at a point in your state where that's a normal thing to see, open carry, I don't want to be in a state that still thinks it's the old West 200 years ago.
Well, that's another thing, too. Certain countries and even Amnesty International is issuing travel warnings to the States. Maybe that's a little bit alarmist.
But
they're not wrong.
America's better than everywhere else, and everybody wants to live here. People want to move to America because they want the opportunity that is promised, not because they think it's better than anywhere else. It's better than a lot of third world countries.
It's better than living in a war zone, but even that's changing.
Exactly, but it's like, but think about this. If people are trying to move to the States or illegals are trying to get to the States, they're doing it at their own risk, and they're weighing the options and going, I run the risk of being shot or my kids being shot here or being deported or held and detained and all this, and it's like, and I'm still willing to work and do the best I can here. I don't understand the mentality of, we don't want them. I get there's legal processes and everything. I'm not for like giving everybody amnesty. What I'm saying is I think that things are being oversimplified with like, it's a very us versus them mentality in the States right now.
Yeah. It's,
and that's not
tragically complicated.
Yeah. And that's not for everybody, obviously, like, and that's not, and like we're painting with broad strokes, like, right? This is not about, you know, every individual American. It's like, no, if you're an American listener of us, that is a perception that is fairly widely held by a lot of friendly countries to the States that like, it used to be the butt of the joke was that Americans were very warmongery or they're very gun crazy. Well, it's not really a joke anymore. It's sort of been revealed to be true. And it's kind of scary to a lot of people that are on the outside. And especially if we have listeners in, you know, other countries outside of North America, which we do, it's like, it's, they even perceive things different than we do because we're just like, we're basically hop, skip, and a jump away. We're, you know, a lot of people view Canada as, you know, another state basically. And it's like, we, you know, our view of the States is much more realistic than people say in even the UK or Australia when they view the States, like they, in their minds, this is so, so different from their culture. And then they don't understand why Americans are like, we're better than everybody else. It's like, but you're not. You're just like everybody else. People are people.
Yeah, so hopefully this didn't cost us too many listeners, but I don't it's think something so. We have something we have to talk about.
Yeah, again, to summarize, we're not against guns. We're not against people. We're not against America having their own laws and everything. What we're for is open discussion.
Yeah, basically rethink it through. Get the money out of the government lobbying groups and have a real conversation.
Absolutely. Moving on from that story, we have one on Uber from Ars Technica. Uber is losing billions of dollars. They're freezing all their engineering hires. So basically, they've been burning cash at more than $1 billion per quarter and not making any money off of it. Yeah, it's crazy. So I had heard this in the past that it's not just them. It's Lyft and other people are not making the kind of money they thought they were going to make because taxis and other services have been basically being more aggressive with their pricing strategies. But I'll sum up the article in a second here just because it's not uber long. But I didn't realize that they were losing that much money.
Mm-hmm. Well, reading the article, I see they're not taking any money away from their freight services or from their autonomous vehicle division.
Yeah, no, what they're basically doing is they're like, okay, well, we can't, they're freezing hiring because they were one of those companies that was just growing and hiring more and more engineers. But they're approaching a point now where it's like the cost benefit ratio of hiring more people isn't going to help them if they're losing money, right? Because mm-hmm. you hire an engineer and you're going to pay them between $60,000 and $100,000 a year. So you know, every person like that, they're going to try to probably weed through the people that they really need and who they don't really need. But so it isn't affecting you, the user, or even the drivers or anything yet.
Yeah.
The app, it's just the engineering technology behind it. They're not going to be doing like not for a while.
So does that mean they're not like people that are working on the autonomous vehicle? That's it. This is the team for however long.
Yeah. That's sort of the idea right now. They also laid off 400 marketing people. Because really, I think that I don't know is if it's as connected to this because they have been making like they don't really do they really need to market themselves anymore? Do they really need to be out there because people their Uber is autonomous? That's a term now. It's a verb. I need to Uber this. Whereas even if you use Lyft or another company,
you always say Uber anyway.
I'm going to go catch an Uber, even if it's not them. So I don't know if they necessarily it's like milk. Do you need to market milk anymore? It's like that. So I don't think that's as indicative of them, you know, not working as a company. That's more like, hey, we have enough. Do we really need to push into other markets anymore? Because everybody knows it's like when literally like my grandmother knows what Uber is and mm-hmm. she's never used it, but she knows what it is. So at that point, you've hit full market penetration. She's in her mid to late 80s, right? So like Uber to them is the same as taxi.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had a hands-on meeting with all staff and they said, hey, we're not hiring anybody right now. Simply because it's like, well, why? It's like, well, look at our money.
Yeah, we're kind of losing a shit ton, guys.
You see this $4 billion we had last year this time? We no longer have that.
Which I always wondered how they made money anyway, but I don't understand financial stuff. I really don't.
Basically, they make it off of, they take a percentage of the ride. Mm-hmm. And then there's a certain fee, right? So they make it on economies of scale. So like they bank on there being 1 million rides an hour. And then for that 1 million rides an hour, they might make 50 cents to a dollar. Let's say they make 50 cents for every ride. Well, if there's 1 million rides, that's technically that's in a day, that's $500,000. So they're banking on making like, you know, $10 million a day or whatever they have a goal and they're not hitting what they thought they were going to be hitting. So mm-hmm. They were spending more money on research and development than they were making from the actual program.
Okay. So, all right. So that makes sense to me now.
Yeah. So okay. they're not dead, but that is a pretty drastic number.
Yeah. That's a pretty heavy hit. To say the very least. So moving on to our next story. This one involves YouTube, Take-Two Interactive, and Borderlands 3. So a YouTuber known as SupMotto is known in circles, basically as a guy who was leaking Borderlands 3 info. Huge Borderlands enthusiast, really likes his stuff. Well, Take Two Interactive turns out have been investigating him for 10 months. So much so they're also sending private investigators to his house. There may be potential legal action against this guy as he was leaking info on Borderlands 3, and they didn't know how this information was getting out. So from what I've been able to gather from a Kotaku article and a pretty good piece on Inside Gaming, he was watching private Twitch streams, really analyzing the crap out of things, like thumbnails and everything. And he also hosted a private Discord server as well, where he was revealing everything else that he knew, but you had to pay $5 to get into that. And well, Take-Two, the publisher, didn't very much like that.
Well, so yeah, there's the issues you get into here are coming across leaks or even sharing them with your friends is not necessarily illegal because you didn't sign any NDA. The problem is when it's a leak of something that isn't even supposed to exist. Like if somebody gets a hold of, let's say, a promotional trailer or something for a game that is supposed to eventually come out, and they get it early because of no fault of their own, or there's an issue, or you didn't have to do anything to circumvent security, then you literally got a scoop or you got a leak ahead of time. But that, and that's perfectly legal. It's kind of a dick move because it screws up with the marketing team, if they, you know, their schedule. Sort of like when Walmart would post game listings before they were announced at E3.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily illegal. It's just dumb to do so. It's not great for your partners. But where you get into issues is when you're getting information based on like alpha pre-public testing, which is like he was, when you're viewing things that are proprietary technology that aren't finished yet, and then you're reporting on them as if they are fact when they could just simply be a testing mechanism. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're advertising a feature that may not actually exist, and then people, are they going to be using that information whether or not to buy the product? And they're like, no, now we have to spend millions of dollars in marketing to say, you were wrong. This is not what it was going to be. And you have now completely screwed up our marketing plan stealing our proprietary information. That is illegal. And that's illegal across the board. It doesn't matter what country you're in. He's basically giving away intellectual property information for things that aren't even factual.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus he was also trying to make some money off this because he was a virtual nobody.
Yeah, he was trying to profiteer off of something, and that's not legal.
Yeah, so, but in the video game industry, leaks are quite common. Like, I know people in certain development houses, and I might get a scoop here and there, but they tell me, you can't say anything. And yeah. I'm like, okay, that's cool to know, but I can't report on it.
Well, and the same thing, I have, you know, friends and family that work at certain places where it's like, I will get information, like, I'm talking 6 months or so beforehand, because that's sort of an expected thing within friends and family. But the rule of thumb is you do not say anything till it's publicly available. So you keep it to yourself, you chuckle about things that are going to happen, and then when it gets released, then you're like, hey, motherfucker, guess who knew that shit early?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then people are like, I don't believe you. It's like, well, you don't have to believe me. I believe me.
Exactly. I have the information right here. Think of it what you will. Yeah, I mean, I get this guy wanted to be an enthusiast and give information to the Borderlands 3 community, and that's cool and everything, but charging people's a little bit of a scummy move.
If you wanted to have your own Patreon, it's one thing. It's different to put things behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Yeah, it's just, it's not cool for you to go and do that.
No, absolutely. Like, that would be like us going, you know, releasing, I don't know, like this Twig show every week, but you only get the first 10 minutes for free, and then you got to pay to go behind a paywall to get the rest of the information. Like, it's like, you know, fuck you. That's no different than like going to a website where they have a news article, and it's like you get to read the first paragraph, and then to read the rest, sign up for our service, $2 a month, and it's like, fuck you. That's not how news is. That's not how leaks go. That's not how, like, this might be the first case I've ever heard of somebody trying to charge money to give inside information, which is 100% illegal.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, no, man, you can't do that. So, trying to think of what else. I mean, we're weeks away from the game anyway. It sucks to see that this guy had to go down this particular path, considering his Discord's been terminated, his Twitch has been terminated, his YouTube channel is up as of right now, but those are likely numbered. He has a bunch of copyright strikes or claims against him, so it's only a matter of time. I mean,
basically, nobody wants any piece of that, so they're like, fuck that. Even if it's not going to court, that is just not something any content distribution platform wants to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, what he did wasn't in and of itself illegal, because the information was there. If he was accessing private Twitch streams, which he shouldn't have been, that's possibly actionable.
Yeah, that's half and half. Like, you've seen people talk about, the lawyers speak on that. What is illegal is he's basically selling company secrets behind a paywall. That's the illegal part.
Yeah.
If he just said, hey, look at this, this is crazy, look what I found, that's different. It's, hey guys, come sign up for this and I'll show you a private video of this. That's illegal.
Yeah, exactly. So, Borderlands 3, a few weeks away. I guess we'll see how cool this game is. It sucks for this guy. I think Take-Two did the right thing by doing an internal investigation, or by doing their investigation. They didn't kick down his door, but considering this may go legal,
well, I
be careful
be
what you do, kids.
When this gets resolved, don't be surprised if there's a little in joke to it in the game, because they've been known to put that sort of stuff in there, like if they just have a guy, like an NPC standing around a corner saying, "Hey, would you like to buy some secrets or something like that?" Mm-hmm. You know, they could do a little subtle thing like that just to poke fun at it, but they'll have to wait till, I guess, the dust settles.
Yeah, exactly. So we will have to wait and see what happens at the end of all this. News this week. It's certainly been an up and down conversation from all. We do welcome conversation feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We do want to hear from you. We do welcome all types of conversation. If we're right, if we're wrong, or if you have something that can educate to learn. And that's the important thing to remember. Conversations are about having that. A conversation, information, and ideas. Nobody is right or wrong unless you're a Nazi. So that's something I think we can all hopefully universally get behind. Here on The Sweet and Geek, and we're going to give you a review of the Double Dragon animated series from Alex. We'll be back right here on Twig right after this.
To be a dragon, you gotta be strong. Humble, never bragging. Always fight for right, battling wrong with the power of the dragon. Live the code of the dragon. Fight for right, the might of the dragon. With the mark of the dragon. Live the code of the dragon.
Never intentionally harm another. Do not battle if you can avoid it. Jimmy and Billy Lee are Dragon Masters now.
Dragon Master was born with the mark of the Double Dragon. Live the code of the dragon. Fight for right, the might of the dragon. With the mark of the dragon.
Thank you.
pretty fond memories of Double Dragon, the animated series, as a kid. I don't remember, honestly, if it aired on YTV or if it was another local UHF or VHS station that I would have picked it up on when it first aired in 1993, but I was probably the target age for it. I was about 6 years old or so, and I was super into playing the arcade game and the original Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2 on the NES at the time. So, you know, for years, this is a release that people have wanted. But the only way to get it was through dubious means. Like, there were tons of pirated copies floating around at trade shows and conventions, and old VHS rips people taped from cable back in the day and put on the internet, and, you know, to varying degrees of quality, obviously bad. And it was about time somebody stepped up, and that company is MVD Visual. They are the releasing company that's been putting out those really cool, high quality remastered deluxe editions of like action and cult, you know, cult sci-fi stuff like Nemesis, the entire series. We've talked about Double Impact, Boogie Boy. There is just basically a whole bunch of these they've been putting out. A lot of Van Damme movies, and they take the original negatives, you know, really scan them in at a higher quality, produce a shit ton, pardon my French, of extra features, and have been boxing them together and selling them at about the $30 price point or so. Worth it for collectors, and definitely worth it for the visual upgrade. Well, what they've done here is they've taken this sort of cult classic, you know, is it subjectively good or objectively good? Subjectively, yes to me. Objectively, it's your standard video game adaptation, you know, 90s cartoon. So your mileage will vary. I think it's a good show if you're into 90s, you know, nostalgic cartoons, or if you want to collect because you love the video games. And they've done a pretty good job. They put it all on three discs. It's 26 episodes, and they include a trailer for the Double Dragon movie, which they also released on MVD's Visuals Special Edition. Now, that's roughly about 9 episodes per disc. So, in my mind, usually that means, you know, compression artifacts and problems, but not in this case, because they've done a pretty good job of not just taking what appeared to be, usually companies will just take the broadcast release and put it out. It looks to me like they have a copy of the master tapes, because they just, it has no stutter, it plays at the proper frame rate, it doesn't have any, you know, weird color reproduction on it, there's no artifacts, there's no things popping up on the screen like in stereo where available, any of that stuff. It looks to me like a high quality release, and they've crammed it full. So popping into my computer, I can see that each disc takes up the full 8 gigs or so, the maximum you can put on a dual layer DVD, and they made use of it by just maximizing the quality. It's in stereo, which is good. In the original aspect ratio, you know, full screen, it plays, I would say, pretty good. I've sort of done a side-by-side of, you know, because you can go on YouTube and find, like, you know, the bootleg copies people posted, and this is miles above what that is. And again, it's, you know, retailing at the $20 to $30 price point, depending on where you get it from. So it's actually a pretty good deal. It's 572 minutes, so, you know, you can spend, you know, a couple weekends watching it, or you can binge through it like I did, and, you know, grab a cereal bowl and pretend it's, you know, Saturday morning again. So I'm going to probably recommend it to any of our fans that are into cartoons and nostalgic stuff. I know Birdman really wants to get his hands on this to look at, so he's going to take a look at it next time I visit him. And I hope they have stuff coming out like this in this line, because a lot of these old Deke properties and early 90s animation have sort of fallen through the cracks. I believe they also have a Sonic the Hedgehog release coming soon, so hopefully I can get my hands on that and see if they can maintain the quality of this release. So if you're looking for it, you're going to be able to find it at places like Walmart. Check on Amazon. Just search up Double Dragon. If you're in Canada, we had questions about, you know, from JT actually asked us, you know, where can I get this? And I said, dude, if you're going to go in stores, it's going to be the kind of thing you find at Cinema One, which is a chain that deals with, you know, video releases, or you're going to might find it at like a Walmart. But your best bet is probably just checking it out on Amazon. Just Double Dragon animated series. You'll see it pop up. The publisher is MVD Visual. Highly recommended for cartoon fans.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And welcome back to Twig, the Flagship of Stupidity. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with my ever-lovable co-host, Alex the Producer. All right, so let's start things off in the weird, wacky, the just plain fucked up things that happened in the world this past week. And this one is a star-studded lineup of weirdness. First off, Machete. Danny Trejo is a real-life hero. This guy can do no wrong. Most recently starring in Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which I actually hear is quite good. Proved himself to be a real-life hero when he saved a young boy from a wrecked car, a feat that was caught on a security camera. So, according to security camera footage that CBSU in Los Angeles was able to get a hold of, a sedan ran into an intersection and collides with an SUV, which causes the SUV to roll over. Trejo, along with other witnesses, run towards the SUV to rescue occupants trapped inside. Aided by a young woman, the actor helps free a child and their grandfather from the vehicle. Sorry, grandmother from the vehicle. So,
what's crazy is he's 75.
And he still looks jacked.
He looks roughly the same that he's looked since 1999. He does look a little different. Like, if you ever see the movie Heat in like 95?
No, not yet.
It's really good. When you see movies like that from the early to mid 90s, he was a little thinner, a little less stocky, but he was super jacked even back then. But he's basically looked the same for 20 some odd years. And it's hard to believe that he didn't get into making movies till he was already in his like late 40s.
Yeah, because he started out, like, wasn't it Robert Rodriguez brought him in?
Like, his first acting roles were in 80s. Like, he was usually played as a thug or did, like, some stunts in that because he was a reformed criminal, in, like, in real life. Mm-hmm. But I think his first film role on screen was in Runaway Train. That's the John Voight, Eric Roberts movie that was nominated for, I think, people forget Eric Roberts was nominated for an Oscar a couple times back in the day before he started doing a Talking Cat and a Talking Cat 2 movies. He played a bad guy on the train, and this is like 1985. So, and he had sporadic roles here and there. And then when he did, I think From Dusk Till Dawn, You're Right, or Desperado, one of the two, is where he started brought in by Rodriguez, where they found out they're like third cousins or something. And ever since then, his career has just skyrocketed because he was like, he's one of the kings of direct to video, even now. Where, like,
yeah,
he does three or four movies a year that are direct to video, and then he'll show up in like one or two big Hollywood pictures, and people love who he is. You know what he's like? It's weird to say it. It's not exactly the same thing, but he's like Ron Jeremy. He's like this, not that the porno or anything, but like he's become this like cultural icon. Like, oh, we need a Mexican tough guy, him. Oh, we need a funny, you know, adult film star guy. Oh, it's Ron Jeremy. Like, he has those sorts of types of roles. He's become like an internet meme unto himself.
Yeah, he's just been typecast into that role. And he's okay with it because he makes it look as awesome as he possibly can. Well,
do you remember those Snicker bar commercials he did? Where it was the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. It's him in his full machete gear. And he seems like genuinely a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome how he saved this little baby from a flipped over vehicle. So, Danny Trejo, otherwise known as Boots the Monkey.
Yes.
What have we done to deserve you?
I have to watch it just to see that.
Yeah, and the fact that Benicio del Toro is Swiper, that's what sells me on it. But Machete as a talking monkey. Plus, there's a great gag I saw. There was like a press clip going around in the original cartoon. Dora would look at the camera and she'd say, "Can you say this certain word?" Right? In the clip, it's like, "Can you say delicioso?" And Michael Peña looks at Dora, looks at his wife, and goes, "Who is she talking to?" And she goes, and she's like, "She'll grow out of it, I hope." So I'm curious to see Dora in the Lost City of Gold, but now even more so because Danny Trejo is a hero.
I'm kind of hoping. Well, and also, he's in the Spy Kids movie, so it's not the first time he's done kids movies. And I think in the Spy Kids, it's Spy Kids 3, maybe, he's referred to as Machete in that. It's either the third
Uncle or fourth. Machete, I think.
Yeah, or it's the third or fourth film, because the first Machete movie had come out, and I just thought it was funny that, like, wait, Machete's in the same world as Spy Kids?
Yeah, I think they're the same continuity, actually.
And it's like, these kids' movies with all these wacky things, and it's like, what does your uncle do? Oh, he screws all the whores and chops off people's heads and uses their guts to fly out the window, and it's, nobody fucks with Machete. And he's like, and I'm just picturing him, like, doing all this killing, crazy shit, murdering people, having sex with, like, 10 women at the same time. And then he just shows up and he's like, happy birthday, kids. It's Uncle Machete.
You know what? They need to make a new Spy Kids movie. Have the original Spy Kids be adults now, because they are.
Yeah,
you can have do that kids easily. Of their own.
And then just have Uncle Machete show up again and just be like, he doesn't look any fucking older. And he just comes in and saves them all and kicks ass, or have them try to save him. And it'd be like, that's a weird twist, is that somehow Uncle Machete got tied up and these little kids have to go save him.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty kick ass. So moving on to our next.
I still want the third Machete movie, Machete Kills Again. that was teased and we never got it.
I still need to see those movies. I've just never have gotten around to
They're
seeing them
yet. Brilliant. I will bring them. I have them, dude. I'll bring them over when
I do. All right, then. So this story, I can't say it surprises me. I'm surprised who it's coming from, though. So recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, Democratic Party nominee Bernie Sanders was on the show, and he has announced that any information about UFOs he will reveal if he's elected in 2020. According to him, his wife Jane has basically asked him about it. He says, well, I tell you, my wife would demand I let you know. Rogan asked if Jane was a UFO nut, which Sanders denied. Jane, however, has been pressing the candidate about what information he might have right now as a senator. She goes, Bernie, what's going on with that? You know, do you have any access? It's certainly an interesting conversation to have, because the U.S. government has obviously known about UFOs, and I'm talking strictly as unidentified flying objects, for a very, very long time, whether that's the existence of aliens or whatnot. That's interesting, to say the very least.
He's at the age. We've had multiple presidents now since the first Bush that were of the younger end age. Like, he's not the oldest president ever, but he would be one of the older ones. He's at a point where he's like, fuck it, I'll say what I want. What are they going to do, kill me? You know what I mean? Like, he could just say whatever, but in all likelihood, he would have to come out and say, okay, here's what we have. It's not aliens, but it is military vehicles or whatever. All he has to do is say that. But the problem is, no president's ever actually said that.
Well, there have been some talking points by former presidents where they'll talk in and around it. Like, I think there's some quotes by Reagan where he said, if we ever get visited by people from another world, and just, it's very weird how he phrased it and stuff like that. And I know Clinton has said some weird stuff, too. I think even Obama has said some things on the
matter. Honestly, I think if Clinton had known that aliens were real, he would have said it by now. He seems like that kind of guy.
If this is always the scenario, like, every couple of years, I'll put it out to my Facebook or social media. Okay, guys, if you found out aliens were real, intelligent life, what would happen? And people go back to quoting the first MIB movie, which came out back in 1997. And Agent K, Tommy Lee Jones, says, a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals, and you know it. And you think about that. If you found out today, Alex, that aliens are real and are intelligent and have been visiting this planet for God knows how long, that wouldn't change your everyday life.
Not only everyday life. I wouldn't be surprised either way. Like, I'm of the belief, it's like, hey, there's a lot in the world and the universe that we know and understand, and a lot that we can't understand. So I'm not reserved to, like, not caring, but I'm like, if aliens were here, like, it wouldn't change what I've done, because how would it affect me? It's going to affect people that are uber religious more than anything.
I think it would definitely affect the religions of the world. Absolutely, because would it cause a religious panic? And you'd have to wonder, well, who knew first, who's been in contact with them? I can see this escalating very quickly into armed conflict. Let's just say, and this is just me speculating out loud, let's say, okay, we find out aliens are real. What if a country, like, say, some country in the Middle East, I don't know, just says, hey, you knew about this. This turns our religion on its head. For that, you die. Or, let's say, Russia says that. You've had weapons technology you've been trading with these people. For that, you die. Like, there's any number of different reasons and scenarios, depending on who's made contact, or whether there is groups, different countries have had contact, so maybe that's not centralized on one country, be it the U.S. or whoever.
Here's the thing. If there were contacts like that, it would have leaked by now in the age of mass communication.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, we have all these conspiracy theories out on Reddit and Twitter and whatnot. Who's to say the information isn't out there already and we just don't believe it because we've been conditioned not to?
I think that there's enough of a dedicated community that would be combing through things by now. Like, I'll tell you one thing. Regardless if Bernie got it,
I'm surprised Trump hasn't said something.
Yeah,
honestly,
Trump,
if it's real.
But I think he's too dumb to let in on it. Like, I don't think they would give it to him, like, the information. I feel like somebody could hand him a piece of paper that says there's no aliens, and as an official memo, just to shut him up, and he'd be like, okay, I believe that, and not actually inquire about it further. It would be more like, what if Jesse Ventura actually got in as an independent?
Yeah.
Like, he's the conspiracy nut. Like, he would legitimately tell people and not care what the consequences are. He'd be like, this is what's happening. Aliens are real. And we're going to legalize weed. And then everybody would be like, yeah. That would be about it.
I mean, I wonder what would happen. Like, I wonder about the political thing. And there was something I saw. It was a documentary. And somewhere, I don't know whether it's true or not. Supposedly, they have scenarios that the State Department runs. And they run through weird scenarios like this. What if X scenario happened? Like a military exercise. And I don't know whether they've ever prepped for alien invasion, but on some level, maybe they've thought about it. Maybe there's a folder somewhere.
I saw an article. There was a guy whose job for the DOD, like, it's public now, that his job was to create scenarios for aliens. And not because they were real, but the government was like, we need to have 1,000 different scenarios of what could possibly happen. This is in the age before a computer could run a simulation for them. I think the guy did it in the 60s and 70s, and I don't remember his name, but I do remember seeing it on a documentary, like on Space or one of these channels. And his job was to go, okay, if aliens come and they're benevolent, what's the scenario of what they would say to us if we're at war currently?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
What is there a scenario? Okay, what would happen if we're not at war, but other countries are, and they see us as the leader? Or would they? Or another question was like, okay, would they come to America? Would they know to come to America? Why would they come to America? Where they go somewhere else? You know, why would they go somewhere else? What would make it so that they would not want to come? It was all about scenarios of trying to see how they could make it so that America would be viewed as the center of our government, I guess, or our civilization. And it was all about trying to see, like, what could we do to make America more appealing to aliens than anybody else. And I'm like, that's actually a pretty pragmatic way of looking at it and making sure that they get, you know, it's like, and a lot of them are doomsday scenarios. It's like, but a lot of the scenarios the guy ran were like, you know, how could we possibly be fucking this up and how can we fix that?
Yeah, I mean, it raises a lot of interesting questions. I mean, obviously, we don't know. I mean, I've made it pretty clear on this show that I believe there is something out there. What it is, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm of the same belief. I'm believing that if we were having regular visitations, we would know by now. The general public would know by now. Like, I would say we would have known by about 1990. Just because of the proliferation of, and people say, oh, it's like, well, camcorders can be tampered with and there's digital this and it can go out. It's like, yes, but there are a lot of people that had home 8mm films that could have developed it themselves. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's enough out there that you could have proven somewhere that these are real.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that shows up on Twitter and Reddit that shows UFOs, and some of that I can't explain. There's some very strange stuff that shows up now and again, and I think it gets discredited because people don't want to believe. And like I said, I'm not telling you to believe in UFOs one way or the other. Make up your own mind. But I'll say this. There's a lot of really weird shit out there, and I think it'll be a very long time before the population is ready to handle that type of information, if it ever does happen. I mean, the only way it's ever going to be ready is if UFO lands on the front lawn of the White House. And nobody can hide that.
And at the same time, if it's the first time they're arriving in the world, they're not necessarily going to understand our language. They're not going to necessarily pick America. They might pick the most densely populated center. So they might go to India or China first.
That's kind of what I'd be thinking, too. Or maybe they go to the Middle East by seeing all the oil reserves, which they might see as
I would assume
energy.
They would probably go to the population center or wherever has what appears to them as the most advanced technology. So it would be some country like South Korea or Japan or anywhere where they see the most amount of electrical activity. And it would be
make sense to me.
It would be a really densely populated area. It probably wouldn't be like Dubai or someplace because there's these big buildings, but it would probably be like a Tokyo or Korea or like it probably
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, but they would want to go where everything looks the brightest and the most, and that would be like a South Korea, like it'd be like a Seoul or a Tokyo, maybe a New York City. But I would assume they would want to go where whatever to them looks the newest, let's say in quotes, like whatever looks the freshest, newest, most powerful, because they're going to assume that that's the most advanced people. So it would probably be Tokyo or South Korea, because they would want to go to a place as well. I would assume that's like an island, so that they're not surrounded by other people. Like it would be more isolated that way. So they probably go to Tokyo.
Yeah. So moving on to my last story and keeping up with the strangeness. Did you know that Nicolas Cage once hunted for the Holy Grail?
I'm more surprised that he didn't find it.
So Nick Cage, we all know, is a pretty weird guy. So he did an interview with the New York Times a little while back. And he says he once went on a quest for the Holy Grail. And he says that was a time when I almost went on, you might call it, a Grail quest. I started following mythology. And I was finding properties that aligned with that. It was almost like national treasure. Of course, that didn't sustain. He says he compared his quest to curating a library. He's like, you read a book, and in it there's a reference to another book, and then you buy that book, and then you attach the references. For me, it was all about where was the grail? Was it here? Was it there? Is it at Glastonbury? Does it exist? And he goes on to say he thinks he found his answer. What is the grail but Earth itself? And I find that kind of weird, that Nick Cage is a pretty weird guy. But if anybody could find the Holy Grail,
I would love to do an interview with him.
Nicolas Cage and Jeff Goldblum are two people I would love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with.
At the same time? Or that would be too much?
Too much. But just to sit down and like, guys, just tell me about your life.
I feel like Nick Cage would probably be more honest with you, and I think that Goldblum might put up a bit of a persona.
A show?
A little bit. But I do think... I think that Nick Cage, if you got him, he would probably be more interested in not talking about any of his movies unless he is obligated to. He might be more interesting to talk to about whatever hobbies he currently has, or like you could ask him like, hey, have you ever built your own computer? You could ask him weird things and he might be more willing to answer that. Like he always talks about his obsession, like, or people say his hobbies with like Elvis or his movies and properties. They think they're being, you know, funny or cute by bringing up like his old movies, like Vampire Kiss and all. No, you got to bring up like interesting things that he would not normally talk about and just see how far he would ramble with it. And I think he would have a lot more fun doing that.
Well, I remember there was an interview he did not too recently where he was talking about why he does so many movies, and he wants to be very, very prolific where he's done everything. Like he wants to reach some magical number. And obviously, I'm very glad his career has been successful. I know there's a new movie. It's coming out really soon. I think it's at one of the big film festivals really soon. It's called Colors Out of Space. It's based upon an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Yeah, he looks like he's giving it 110%, just like he always does.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to see Lovecraft and Nicolas Cage. Yes, please. Yeah.
I was going
to
say, like, as far as other things he's done, like, he's had his high points, his low points, a lot of low points, but they're always, he's always entertaining, whether or not he's good. But, like, as far as recent memory, wasn't that one that he did that was, like, a cult horror film where he's, like, out in the middle of a forest or something? I can't remember the name of it. It was, like, really artistic, almost like that movie Drive, or where he's in the forest and he's, like, covered in blood attacking people or something, where he plays, like, a bad guy.
I think I know the movie you're talking about, but yeah, I can't think of the name.
That one got praised. And the other one that I really wanted to see but never got a chance to was that one, Mom and Dad, where at one point every single mom and dad in the world goes crazy and tries to kill their kids. And it's him and, was it Selma Blair?
Or something like that, yeah.
Trying to kill their children, and he's like, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the door. And he's like using an axe to try to kill his children. And like, I'm like, yes, that's like, he's not afraid to, like, he's a leading man, but he's not afraid to play the bad guy in craziness and like weird movies.
Yeah, like I would like to ask him where his center is. How do you get into the weirder roles as opposed to just playing the everyman action hero? Where do you get the weirdness from?
When he has, I think he has like OCD tendencies. Like, he narrows in on something and just goes boom. Like, he's so obsessed with Elvis that he fucking married Elvis's daughter so he could add her to his collection for a bit. You know what I mean? Like, okay. And then he would go out in public dressed as her father while dating her.
Was it him that sold the Tyrannosaurus skull to Leonardo DiCaprio? Or is that somebody else?
I'm fairly certain it is. Like, this is a dude, like, he lives life to, like, the nth degree. It's like, oh, I want some fucking dinosaur bones. I'm going to make a National Treasure movie so I can get $20 million and get a bone. And I'd be like, oh, I don't need a bone anymore. I'm going to marry Elvis's daughter because I like Elvis.
I remember he had a copy of...
Yeah,
I remember he had a copy of Action Comics number one, and I remember he sold that off to pay some of his tax debt.
Didn't he have two at one point or something? Like,
or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he sold the not-as-good one. And it's like, wait, you have a not-as-good Action Comics number one?
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ, dude, that's a piece of history.
He's literally king of the nerds, like, beyond. Like, and he would be a fun interview. It's just, you know how busy he is? It's one of those things where you got to keep our eyes out for when he's up in Toronto or something.
You know what? What was the trailer he did for Grindhouse? Didn't he do one for where, like, he was like Fu Manchu or something?
That was in Werewolf Women of the SS, and
yeah,
and one of the main bad guys was Dr. Fu Manchu, and he's in
and he was like,
and it was like, what? It's like, and Nicolas Cage as, or did they go by? I forget if they called him Nicolas Cage or if they called him his real name, Nicolas Coppola. I don't remember. But yeah, it was like I saw that and I was like, please make this movie. And then Rob Zombie never made the movie.
Get on that, Rob. Although I'm curious to see Three from Hell. I'm very curious about that. Considering
it's been 15 years since the last one?
Since Devil's Rejects. It's been a while. And I think they're all appearing at Fan Expo or some horror convention in the next couple of months or something like that.
To be clear, you said horror convention, right? Not horror convention.
I never can pronounce that word correctly.
Are we going to be invited to the horror convention? Alex,
they all sound the same to me.
You have press pass to go to the horror convention. What are you going to do at the horror convention? I'm going to talk to a bunch of whores.
Well, conceivably, Rob Zombie could be there too.
Very true.
So that's what happened in the world this week of the weird, wacky, just plain fucked up. If anybody out there has a line on Nicolas Cage, please let us know. I think he'd be a fun guy to hang out with. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to hang out with Nick Cage for a day? So anyway, we're going to wrap things up with Alex's review of the iPod Touch 7th generation. We'll be back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net. We'll be back, guys, right after this. ¶¶
recently I spoke with Apple about getting my hands on the new 7th gen iPod Touch, because I know it had been several years since they had done a refresh, and I hadn't owned one in probably since the 5th, or maybe I had a 6th generation iPod, and I wanted to take a look at it because I wanted to see if it was a viable option in 2019 for something that would be good for back to school. If you wanted to just have a basic iOS device for, you know, playing all your music, playing some games, now that they're going to be launching their subscription gaming service. And I figured, hey, you know what, let's just see what they say. So they sent back a 256 gig, the top of the line Product Red Edition. That's the one that they donate proceeds to helping, you know, HIV and AIDS research. And I've been playing around with it now for about a week, and I wanted to make sure, I got the best experience I could out of it. So I'm going to be talking about it now in a basic review, and then I'll be talking about it again after I've used it for another week or so in our back-to-school guide to give my final thoughts, because I can then can compare it to other devices that I've had a chance to review for it. So here's the big differences between the last generation and this generation. The exterior looks exactly the same. It's the same build, everything. It's all about the internals. So you still have the same headphone jack, so you can use traditional headphones, or you can use, you know, wireless via Bluetooth. It uses the lightning charger. Everything like that is the same. But internally, basically, there's been a major upgrade to the CPU that's used, which it went from the dual-core 64-bit 1.1 gigahertz A8 processor, which was pretty good for the time in the 6th gen models, to a dual-core 64-bit 1.6 gigahertz. So you're looking at 40-50% or so increase in speed with an A10. And you went from 1 gig of RAM to 2 gigs of RAM. And that is pretty dramatic for a device this size. That's a lot more that you can have loading in the background, or the fact that you can play like lossless music at the same time that you're doing something else, or it's going to be a dramatic improvement for the games. This is going to be a big focus, I believe, for them in the future, is they want to, you know, really amp up that arcade subscription service they have that they want to come out with. And I'll be talking more about that in, you know, my gift guide or the back to school guide that I'm putting together later on. But for now, here is sort of going to be a review of how it works as an audio device. So again, double the RAM, faster CPU, and then the major upgrade is the base model went from having 16 gigs of space to 32 gigs, all the way up to 256, which is the one that I have right here. So on the audio front, it plays everything that your iPhone will play as far as music formats, so Apple Lossless, AAC, MP3, and you know, it plays them at all the same formats, you know, bitrate settings, quality settings that you're used to and you've always been used to. So it still mirrors the experience you get on your iPhone that way. Having the 256 gigs of storage means it's finally surpassing what was in the iPod Classic, you know, when it had the mechanical moving drive, which again were prone to fail because eventually those things will die when they have moving parts. So you're finally able to, now after years, have more capacity, and because it is on like a NAND storage, it loads like instantaneously. I have found, I've been loading up some of my own CDs personally by grabbing them, putting them in my Blu-ray drive in my computer, and making a backup using Apple Lossless just to see how it sounds. Playing it with my wired and wireless headsets sounds really good for a personal device. What you usually get when you get something in this price point, now this is the top of the line one, the $500 edition, that is, you're paying for the storage, but the base model at about 250 Canadian, that is right at about the point where you jump up from a lot of the entry-level cheap sort of Chinese garbage music media cheap phone players that you would find on Amazon or, you know, any cheap electronic store, and you get into something where you can actually listen and appreciate that it has a decent quality. You'll find Walkmans in the same price range, some of the Fios players, and others in the market, and they're generally all thicker. They're meatier devices as far as the weight and everything. So it's not really apples and oranges. Like those ones are going for music playback fidelity over across of tons of different codecs. This is sort of tried and true. AAC works is decent quality, or you can jump up to Apple Lossless if you want to get something that would be the equivalent of a FLAC file. And you know, it, for just a basic media player, this works really good. The trade-off is a lot of the price is a little more than what you'd find from a third party. The Sonys are about the same for the exact same specs, but some of the third party companies that do dedicated players will be about $50 cheaper. But you don't necessarily get the Apple build quality, which is pretty fantastic. It feels nice in the hands, and you know, it can go in my front pocket and it doesn't weigh me down at all. So that's a big plus, especially if you're going to use this for, let's say you're going to the gym or something, you can put it in one of those armbands, strap it on, and just go. So it's not going to weigh you down like a lot of the heavier players will. So that's a big plus for this. As far as media playback, you are hindered by having to use the iTunes app to load your videos onto. You can't just load things on a card because it doesn't have, you know, an external SD card reader. That being said, pretty much anything I've purchased on iTunes just plays on it fine. You know, you're not going to get miraculous video 1080p out of this because it's not a 1080p screen. But if you're watching, you know, anything on YouTube on here, any apps like that, it looks just fine because the pixel density is good on the screen. So, you know, it's a good portable media player, especially for kids. And I can see it, as far as gaming goes, being a huge step up from what it was previously, seeing that it has that A10 chip in there and with the extra RAM. So I'm going to try out some gaming for the next part of the review, which will be on the back to school guide. So for now, as a media player, it's pretty darn good. And you know, if you really want to just fill up a player, you know, and have something that just holds your entire library of music that you can have on the go, then this 256 gig edition is definitely worth it. It is a bit pricey for most people, but that's why they have that entry level 32 gig, which is going to be perfectly fine for most people's music needs.
And we are about to wrap things up here on Twig, the Flagship of Stupidity. Hopefully you've enjoyed our rather interesting topics today, from talking about Walmart and gun violence to
the Hork Convention.
The Hork Convention. Because I can't pronounce horror.
I really want to get, you know, we get like media passes and it just says like HorrorCon 2020. It's just like an animated drawing of like a gaggle of people all writhing on the ground together. I'm like, where are you going? Horror convention. I got a cover.
I got a VIP.
Very important penis.
Stand aside, mortal. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up on the site this week. I think we got another turd or treasure, right?
Yes, sir. I just got some stuff to review. I'm not sure what's the date right now. It is the 12th. So, yeah. Turd or Treasure is either going to be this week or next week, depending on when review embargoes end. But I do have two new Sega Ages titles to review, which is the Puyo Puyo, not to be confused with the new Puyo Puyo that came out, like the brand new one that came out about a month or so ago.
Yep.
This is the classic Puyo Puyo arcade, as well as Space Harrier is being released. So I'll be trying those out and give you my opinion. So far, pretty much everything from M2 has been fantastic. That's the same development studio doing the Genesis Classic, and they're doing the TurboGrafx, but they do all the Sega Ages titles for the Switch.
That's good stuff. For myself, I will have Detective Pikachu from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment coming out next week out on the show. I also have a Nintendo Switch controller that Alex gave me a little while back for me to take a look at. So maybe when he comes over to visit us this week, I'll take a few rounds and smash with him. And we'll see
how I like it. I'll bring mine and we play together.
So yeah, it'll be a good time. What else I got coming out? I have been mentioning some Dungeons & Dragons stuff. I will be reviewing that a little bit closer towards the end of the month as we near back to school, because hey, going back to school means hey, you might find yourself a new D&D group. So I'll be taking a look at some stuff that you can potentially use in your games there, and potentially some other stuff for a back to school guide as I'm trying to gather materials right now. Also, Nerds of the Third Power, I know topics that are coming up over the next few weeks. Game Boy just celebrated its 30th anniversary a little while back. We'll be talking about that on the show. We'll also be talking about Nerds of the Third Power's 10th anniversary will be coming up sometime in September. We're also going to be doing something rather special for them, and I don't think I can announce it here, but let's just say it does involve dice. And you can there'll be a lot of really cool stuff to look forward to in the next little bit with us and them. And I should be making my return to Alter Geek, because Steve Megatron Phillips and I have been in contact, so I should be recording with him sometime soon. I'm supposed to get in touch with him
as well. And I know we're going to be doing Future Imperfect soon too. So
yeah, that'll be fun. Need to finish season two.
Yeah, it's I we've already sort of done an ultimatum. It's like, if Mike doesn't catch up, we're just going to do it. It's like, come on, man, catch up so we can talk. We've been wanting to talk with you forever on this stuff.
Yeah, I just have the last like four episodes to go.
So. Oh, dude, you can do that. They're good episodes too. So catch up.
So yeah. Fun. So anyway, guys, until next time for This Week in Geek, we have been
Alex and Mike at the horror convention. I'm never going to let that go.
Live from the horror convention floor, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. Live free or die hard. And as always, be cool, be kind, be careful out there, folks. We'll catch you again real soon right here on thisweekingeek.net.
It's sticky down here like a fly trap.
Oh, God.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info on the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.